broadcasting live from the Colburn Electric Studio. This is Talk Radio 1170 KFAQ. Gotta be careful what I say,
'cause I might slip. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio at 1170 KFAQ in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday, March 29th, 2012. It is now 10:05 a.m. Central Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Today we'll discuss the concept of money. Listeners may wish to express their opinion. They may direct their comments to comments at libertytalkradio.com. Well, folks, I'm sure everyone is thinking who's listening to this program, the concept of money. Well, why does this guy have to tell me about money? I have money in my wallet. I have money in the bank. I've always known there was money. Why are we discussing such a mundane subject as money? Well, folks, I have sad news for you, and I have sad news even for myself. In fact, you have no money. You don't own anything, and neither do I. We're going to get into that for a moment, but before we even could understand what the concept of money is, the first thing we need to really comprehend, and I'm saying truly comprehend, to the point where it actually hurts, and we get angry with ourselves for not understanding that in the first place, we need to understand the concept of freedom. Oh, you say, well, we live in a free country, you know, what is there? We're free. Let's get on with the money business. Folks, I have sad news for you again. We are not in a free country. Not exactly. I can say we are in a free country. Not exactly. And that would be more accurate. But unless we truly define what freedom is and we can understand what it is and that we could see ourselves as sovereign, sovereign to everyone, to the city, the county, the state, and the federal government, then we can understand why money and the categorization of money and the definition of money is so important to our well-being, and not only that, but collectively, folks, to the well-being of this country, if this country is still here. Let's talk a little bit about freedom. You'll never see this in a textbook. This is original. Think of the word freedom. When I think of that word, you know what word I think of? The antithesis of freedom? I think of kingdom. Now, freedom is truly a state in which we are unencumbered. We are, in fact, free to move about, to act as if the way we wish, provided that we do not violate the equal rights of others. Now, we don't really look at it that way. We just think that we are free. We are really not free because we do not have freedom in that respect. Now, think of the antithesis of freedom, kingdom. When we think of kingdom, what do we think about? What's the images that come to our mind? How about Middle Ages Europe with the king and the serfs? You know, so freedom is the exact opposite of that. And if you look at where we are going, doesn't it seem to you that we're sort of graduating to that stage where we have a strong federal government, a kingdom, if you will, in Washington, and we are becoming the serfs? We're just being told what to do. It really bothers me that we do not understand the principles of freedom and liberty. Now, why is that? Well, from the time we go to, we're enrolled into government schools, and our parents think that they are doing the right thing for us. They are responsible parents by enrolling us as early as possible. How about kindergarten? How about pre-kindergarten. We can get our kids in school, and they will even be smarter for it. They'll get a better job. They'll be able to tackle the subjects in school in the later years so much better because I gave my kids a head start. What really happens, folks, is the earlier that we put kids in school, the easier it is for government-regulated schools to mold the minds of students. Now, I'd love to do a program on education, one of my favorite subjects, but we'll have to say that because we only have about 25 minutes left. But just think, we take our kids, dump them into a school, and they're taught stuff. All day long, they are preached something. They get to believe what they hear. Well, they have to. They're young. Their minds are very intuitive. They're like sponges, and they absorb all of this. And as they grow up and they graduate, this is the mindset that they graduate with. So if you ask people, are you free? They say, of course I'm free. I live in America. Well, does the rest of the world think we're free? Sorry, I got bad news for you again. In fact, according to studies, there are indexes which measure economic freedom and personal freedom. The Heritage Foundation does it on economic freedom. We rank now 10, and we are slipping. I think it's Locatum Institute does one on personal freedom. We're number 12, and we are slipping. And quite frankly, I've seen those reports, and I disagree with them. They are much too generous for the United States. We are not as good as they say we are. So when you think of freedom, we have to think of ourselves as a sovereign individual, an entity in and of ourselves. When we say our country, what we are saying me, I am the country. I don't love my country. I can't say I love my country. I can't define it. But we are taught to believe that way. We are indoctrinated to say that we truly love our country. And when you ask someone, well, what does that mean? They can't understand. They can't define it. Well, I love my country. Well, do you love the trees or the sidewalks? Or how about the cars or the skyscrapers? Or how about the mountains? They go, well, no, not really. I mean, it's pretty. Some of it's pretty. Some of it's ugly. But I love it. But what is it that you love? You see, we talk in these ethereal terms that we get to believe to be fact. And there is no fact. The only thing that we can love is ourselves and the people around us. Now, however, if in fact we are not a free people, we cannot love ourselves. We're not permitted to. I mean, we may secretly, but we are truly not a free person. Because you cannot love yourself if you abide by the dictates of some central authority. You see where I'm coming from? We are truly not free unless we understand freedom. Freedom is a state of mind. It says that I am an individual that can move through this world unencumbered without any restriction. Could you imagine without any restriction? That is freedom. Look at the restrictions that are placed on us today. If you try to do anything in America today, there are more government agencies telling us all the forms we have to fill out, all the regulations. We are regulated to death. In fact, it is even difficult dying today. There are too many forms to fill out. I may live forever. So unless we truly comprehend the concept of freedom and liberty, we really can't talk about the concept of money, because we assume the money comes from the government, we put it in our pockets, and it's worth something. We use it as a medium of exchange. Now, what's really interesting is that you ever look at your dollar that's in your wallet? Have you ever seen that thing? I mean, really looked at it. Very few people have. I go to banks, and I'm a real wise guy. I ask the teller, I said, by the way, how much silver or gold is in this coin? Or how much gold is being backed? How much gold backs this dollar? And you know what the tellers always do? They say, oh, hold on for a second. I'll find out. We have people whose business it is to know their product, right? Money. They should know their product, money. They have no idea what it is. That's the banker for you, the teller. So you can imagine the person on the street really doesn't know much more. Very few people do. If you look at the dollar today, it says this note is legal tender for all debts, public or private. And on the reverse side, it says, in God we trust. Well, we better, because trusting anything else is going to be a real problem. And the government dictates. Now, I use the word dictates, very important. The government dictates that this be used in all transactions. Now, let's stop right there. Here we are. We say we're a free country, but yet an entity is telling us, a sovereign individual, that we cannot transact commerce unless we use the paper that they print on. Well, what makes that paper worth anything? Well, because that foreign entity, that entity, that government, Federal Reserve, by the way, tells us it's worth that amount of money, whether it be a dollar, five, ten, 100,000, whatever it is. Now, what's really interesting is at one time we actually printed our own money. It was printed by the Treasury. Then they developed the Federal Reserve, and they called it the Federal Reserve Bank. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's not federal because it has nothing to do with the Federal Reserve at all. It's a independent, basically, company. They have no reserves to speak of, and they certainly aren't a bank. But it sounds good when we say, well, the Federal Reserve Bank. Do you know, we don't even know for sure, and there's more conspiracies about this than any other subject in the world, as to who really owns the Federal Reserve. We know that it's heavily influenced by the money managers of the world. Some people suggest the Rothschilds, for example, were in cahoots to develop the Federal Reserve. Now, why is that important? Well, because when you have money that is printed by an entity and backed by nothing, you are beholden to that entity. Now, let's look at what money used to represent. When a person exercised themselves all day long, they worked, they toiled, regardless of what they did, they received something in kind. In other words, if gold or silver or whatever the exchange was worth X number of dollars and they worked X number of hours, they received that amount of gold or silver for that time. Now, the beauty of that is that that made the individual totally independent of the entity. They had worked, they received something that was actually, had an intrinsic value of the amount of effort that they put out for that day, and it had no third party risk at all. No third party indebtedness whatsoever. No one had to tell you how much it was, because the market dictated how much it was. So you, in fact, had value, worth, and you held it in your hands. Now you say, well, Joe, people are not going to be walking around with bags full of gold and silver. That's stupid. Well, it is. Well, that's why they came out with the dollar bill. They came out with printed money. And the printed money said this, and this is beautiful. And by the way, this ceased in 1933 when our beloved President Franklin Delano Roosevelt decided this was not good enough for us. Under the gold standard, the dollar bill, or the $5 bill, the printed money, said this. This certifies that there have been deposited in the United States, in the Treasury of the United States, $20 in gold coin payable to the bearer on demand. Think about that. Think about that. In other words, you had a piece of paper that was a receipt. It was no different than when you go to the dry cleaners and you give the person your suit, your dress, or whatever the case may be, they give you a receipt. Who owns that suit or that dress? Well, you do. You have a receipt. Number 36114. You go back and they give it to you. Very simple. A perfect contract. We did the same thing. And all of a sudden, they said, well, we have a better form of currency. We have a better form of currency, and that form of currency will be the Federal Reserve note. We don't need gold anymore. We don't need silver anymore. We don't need to be backed by anything. the good faith and credit of the federal government will back that up for us. So, what we wind up with is paper that is worthless, but is only a promise by government that says, by dictate, that is what it is worth. You may use it. In other words, they are giving us permission. Oh, we have a caller on the line. Let's take the caller, please. Caller, is that you? Are you on the air? Caller.
Yes.
Okay, caller. Thank you very much for calling in. 1170 KFAQ, Liberty Talk Radio. Your first name and what is your question, please?
Jim is
thank
my
you.
Name. And my question, Joe, is while you seem to be very critical of the Federal Reserve, it seems like the United States has been the most prosperous and economically superior country this last century, and that our monetary policy has led to the greatness of America. And you refer to the gold standard, and it just seems to me that there's a lot of confusion and issues in trying to convert from our current system, which of course our dollar is the world reserve currency owned and traded throughout the world. Could you share with me conceptually what your vision or what the process might be if we were to change from a fiat-based system to a gold standard? I just don't think it's feasible.
Absolutely, Jim. That's an excellent question, and that's the one that's asked more times than probably any other one. How do we do this? You know, it sounds good. You know, looks good, runs bad. And that's because we work from the premise of not understanding what freedom is. See, we do not need a central bank. We do not need a Federal Reserve. Anyone could exchange any goods or service for any other goods or services. There's barter. But we wouldn't do that, obviously. We would still need some sort of depository where there is gold somewhere, someone certifies this gold somewhere, and someone gives you a receipt, just like they gave you a receipt for your suit when you bring it to the cleaners. That's all you need. Now, what that does, that divorces you, and I use the word divorce and underline it, please, divorces you from the system. And this is what you want done. You want to be divorced, you want to divorce yourself from the system. This makes you, in fact, a free person, and that keeps intact, you know, your freedom, your liberty, and your ability to move without restriction. That, in fact, is the definition, if you will, of sovereignty. You become a sovereign individual in and of yourself. You don't have to worry about the federal government. Now, how is that? What's the transition? You know, what's the steps taken? That's the subject of about a four-hour program. But what we first need to do is we first need to drop the fiat system. We need to audit the Fed, find out how much gold is in the Fed, get that gold, put it in on the books of our federal government, not this foreign entity, make sure it's on our books, then value gold based on the amount of money that is outstanding at this time. But that will also require that we stop spending people's money on wars, on social programs, on war on drugs, the war on terror, you name it. In other words, it means that the central government is downsized to its very barest minimum. What is that minimum? It exists for one reason and one reason only, and that's to ensure that your liberty and your freedom are protected. That's the only reason for the federal government. Only reason. They have a court system, you know, whatever, and for the common defense, not offense. And once we cut that down, our deficit will go away. In a couple of years, we'll have everything paid off. But it would require a tremendous sacrifice. Would, in fact, the country get jolted from such action? Absolutely. We would go into a severe depression. But let me suggest this, Jim, that we are going to go into a severe depression anyway. We might as well do it the right way rather than the wrong way. I hope that at least begins to answer your question.
Thank you. Yeah, it gives me a much better and clearer understanding. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff, for calling in, Jim.
You bet.
Right. You know, there is a lot of confusion because what we receive is what we know is what we receive on mainstream media, what we receive in the newspapers and whatever what we read. And most of it says, oh, that's tomfoolery. You really can't do that. We really can't make that transition. Well, yes, we can, provided we all have the same mindset, provided we understand the concept of liberty, and then we can finally understand the concept of money, real money. Do you know what money used to be called? Lawful money. They stopped using that term. And the value of the dollar in your pocket right now is worth less than 5% of what it was when the Federal Reserve first was enacted. Think about it. Worth like 4%. And every day, the government sort of takes a little bit away because we keep on going in deficit, we print more money, and the more money you print, the less value each dollar is worth. In other words, you're holding currency. Now, when the country realizes, boy, we had this money and it's losing value, once people wake up to that, and they will, the velocity of money will explode. In other words, people will try to get rid of it, spend it as fast as they can because they're afraid if they hold on to it, it's going to be worth less tomorrow. And that's hyperinflation. You can't do that when you have a currency based on that has some intrinsic value, such as gold or silver. So am I advocating a gold standard? Absolutely. Now, I'm not stuck on gold. It can be anything as gold, such as gold. Anything that has the same characteristics as gold, anything which has, for example, gold is malleable, it's durable, it's divisible, it's convenient, it's consistent, and it's worldwide. Do you know if I had a gold coin? Oh, we have another call. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Just listening to this, I can't help but think of a couple of different things here. And I've got to tell you, it sounds like, you know, when I was a kid, I've got to eat my peas and carrots, and I don't necessarily want to do that. What if I'm happy with the way things are? And maybe this argument maybe even sounds like the Obama administration telling me I need to have health care. Why? Why is this good for me? I mean, that's what it keeps going over and over. It sounds good, but do I want to go through the necessary steps to sort of get to this place where we are free and sovereign? I've got to have a better reason than just, you know, a single line of questioning. I'd like to know what is my incentive as an individual to at least a little bit happy with his life at this particular point in time, and maybe I don't want to change.
Yeah. Caller, you're absolutely correct. In fact, I will have to agree with you. There is no incentive for you to change. Because what you have now is what you have become accustomed to, and any change is very disruptive to your life. And no one wants to be disruptive. Everyone wants everything to stay exactly the same. What I am suggesting to you is this. If you can look down the road, you can look down the road and say, well, if I continue on this path, although now I'm almost a free person, I'm restricted in most of what I can do, and down the road, I will be restricted even more. Is that where I want to go? Not where I am today. Is that where I want to go? If you say, I think it's about time we bite the bullet. You know, if we're overweight, it's about time that we went on a diet. Don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. But we know we have to do it sometime. And all I'm suggesting is that you better now than later. Because no matter which way we go, it's going to be painful. Thank you very much, caller. Appreciate
Thank
it very
you.
Much. Right. We had another caller on the air, but caller seems to be gone. Am I correct? Let's see. Okay, well, we're gone. I'd like to wrap up this segment, this program, by thanking KFAQ 1170 for the opportunity to broadcast this morning on the concept of money. We do have another caller. Do we have time for another caller? We do. Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe, this is Bob. Hey, I was listening to your show, and it's very interesting.
Thank you.
From what I understand, the Federal Reserve was established in 1913.
That is correct.
So most of the years of our country, we didn't even have a Federal Reserve.
That is correct.
And I understand GDP was an average of 10%. Every year prior to the Federal Reserve.
That is correct.
Okay. That's what I was wondering if that's what I heard. I was wondering if that was true.
Yeah. Yeah, and people say, well, without a Federal Reserve, how we operate? Well, you know, we don't need a Federal Reserve. We just need honest money. So when you and I transact, I will be more than happy to do something for your money. Right now, the entire world, not only the United States, but the entire world is getting skittish. They'll say, well, we'll sell you oil, but not for $5 a barrel, not for $10, and now we're up to $107 a barrel, whatever it closed at last night. But and the increase in the price of oil, for example, is an indication of the failure of our monetary system. It is not an indication that the oil companies are trying to exaggerate their profits at the expense of the consumer and all that stupid garbage. That's government talk, you know. In fact, the reason for the high cost of oil is because of our monetary system. People don't want our money anymore. And if they take our money, they better get a lot for it because they know it's worth less. Worth less. Now, the only difference between worth less and worthless is that space in between the H and the L. And that gap is narrowing. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, well, on the oil, to me, we have plenty of supply. We don't tap into it, you know, like up in Prudhoe Bay in Alaska and Gull Island. From what I understand, that's one of the largest reserves, more than what the Mideast has. That's why the Keystone Pipeline that was in the news was such a big deal, because in order to get it, you know, we needed that, get it down here, we need that Keystone Pipeline. And, you know, if you keep, you know, supply and demand is the way I look at it. Is that how you see it? I mean, if you create a shortage in the supply, then and the demand keeps going up for oil, obviously, because of countries that are modernizing. So that raises prices. Is that the way you see it, Joe?
Absolutely. In fact, we have a glut of oil right now, and the only reason why we can have a glut of oil at the same time as the price with the price going up, which is inconsistent in a free marketplace, is because the dollar is being devalued and people don't want it and they want more for it. And we're almost out of time, Bob, and thank you very much for calling in Liberty Talk
Radio.
I really
enjoyed your perspective, Joe. I hope we'll hear more about you.
Okay, thank you very much for the kind words. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, folks, this is the end of today's broadcast, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Well, and we also appreciate the 1170 KFAQ for having me on this morning. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio and 1170 KFAQ. Stay well. Stay tuned.
This is Tom Gresham. Join us for...